Welcome to Security Wire Weekly, a SearchSecurity.com podcast for January 21st, 2009. Welcome to the program. I'm Rob Westervelt. In this edition, we'll talk to Gartner analyst Aviva Leighton about the latest massive data security breach. Payment processor Heartland disclosed the breach this week.
Now, I know from talking to people in the industry that this could be the biggest yet, and it probably is.
Also, an interview with Ernst & Young's Saji Lazaroff on data privacy in the retail industry. Saji talks about how retailers identify abuse and the methods they use to track customer purchases.
If certain retailers are realizing they are much more prone to that type of abuse and fraud, it may make a lot of sense for them to actually use a more sophisticated system now, more than ever, to be able to track such abuses.
In a moment, Gartner analyst Aviva Leighton, but first this message.
The latest lesson from SearchSecurity.com's integration of networking and security school offers an inside look at the processes involved with merging network and security operations. Check out this networking security integration lesson and many others at searchsecurity.com/netsec. That's searchsecurity.com/netsec.
And we're back. Heartland Payment Systems disclosed a data breach tied to its credit card payment systems. The payment processor said it discovered malware in its network. While the size and scope of the breach was not disclosed, Heartland said it processes 100 million credit card transactions each month. Gartner analyst Aviva Leighton said the breach comes at a time when the credit card industry was relaxing a bit.
You know, Visa thought that a lot of the security controls were in place with the big retailers, with all the processors, and, you know, this is clear evidence to me that the criminals just know how to bypass the traditional security controls. And so they're definitely winning the war. And if anyone really cares about it, they'll need to take stronger measures. You know, it's not all gloom and doom because there are pretty good fraud detection systems out there. But a lot of havoc will be caused. I mean, the reason that TJX was sued was because money really was lost. Accounts have to be closed. At a minimum, accounts have to be closed when they're stolen and used. So it's just unnecessary cost.
The company said the breach did not affect merchant data or cardholder social security numbers, unencrypted personal identification, addresses, or phone numbers. Heartland said it was improving security and installing software to detect problems. Up next, Saji Lazaroff of Ernst & Young talks about data privacy in the retail industry. Saji is a senior manager in Ernst & Young's privacy risk advisory services. He has over 14 years of experience with crisis management, data protection, and privacy. Saji talks about how retailers identify abuse and the methods they use to track customer purchases. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
How big is the merchandise return problem for retailers?
There's some statistics out there that various retail organizations are putting out. There's some interesting numbers coming from the National Retail Federation putting returns at the billions, the several billions of dollars a year in the U.S. We know the Canadian retail federations have tracked that as well, and they have numbers. So we're talking about a fairly significant amount of money that retailers are losing for abuse of policies and up to sophisticated fraud that takes place.
Many retailers are now tracking people to identify abuse. We know that. What kind of information are they collecting and storing?
So there is variations, and there's quite a wide spectrum of the information and the way the information is collected. On one side of that spectrum, we see fairly limited collection to the point where a retailer would just try to create some level of deterrence by asking for an ID but never really documenting it.
Such as collecting a driver's license, for example, right? Just taking a look at it.
Yeah, just looking at it but never documenting it on the one side of the spectrum, up to actually taking information that includes contact information as well as the number of a credit card, the number of a debit card, number of driver license. And in between there, there are variations in between that of contact information that is provided, handwritten contact information that is limited. Some retailers would ask for household information, not necessarily trying to identify the person, but would ask for example, a phone number that they can reverse and find an address.
Why would a retailer collect credit card data as an identifier on their customers, especially with the PCI DSS rules out there?
It depends, and it would vary depending on the retailer, depending on the sophistication of the system that they're using. Not every system would be easily getting information from other types of identifications, and the credit card may be just the one they have there, more available. Some would apply protection over that information. Some would use just portions of it or eliminate it, put it that number in a separate secure part of their system. The PCI is an important consideration, but depending on the size of the retail organization and depending on the sophistication of that organization, you would see variations in practices.
You've mentioned in your report not to collect too much information on customers. How much is actually too much?
Well, I think it really has to do with what the retailer is trying to do and what are the requirements that are that exist outside of the retailer, or what are the privacy laws and restrictions, as well as the purposes that the information is collected. If the idea is not to collect more than is necessary, we should keep in mind that the collection of information may not necessarily be for the sole purposes of tracking returns. Some retailers have a more sophisticated process in place by which they try to track an individual as they make purchases and make returns, so they can track that individual over time and understand the interest of that customer, the level of profitability for them as a retailer coming from that customer, so they can offer certain individuals more perks, more discounts on certain items.
Sure,
it's not just the return. So that would influence what is being collected. Also, what the regulations say you can or cannot, or what would be considered by a regulation as sensitive information.
You've suggested using an outside vendor to collect and retain information on customers. Doesn't that open up additional security risks for retailers?
So it's not that we're suggesting that retailers do that. We're noting the fact that some do that. Some retailers do the collection on their own and do everything on their own. Some prefer to use a vendor for that. We are talking in the report about the considerations that for retailers that do want to use a vendor for that purposes, making sure that retailer they're using, that the vendor that they're using is a credible vendor that collect and process information in a lawful and fair way, and going back to your question about security, putting the right security considerations contractually, in some cases even finding ways to track how a vendor complies with their contract over time, including the security obligations.
Is that often missed? Is that a trouble spot for retailers?
The whole notion of managing vendors that process personal information has been a growing area of concern and a growing area of attention by companies in general, not just the retail industry. With breach notification and the increased importance of information, the increased ease by which information can be abused, any company, not just a retailer, take a closer look at how the vendors that they hire to process information on their behalf are doing to protect the data. So it is generally speaking, for any organization, any vendor that processes personal information on their behalf is an area of risk that merits additional attention, especially these days.
What specifics does a retailer have to weigh when they're deciding to use a outside vendor to collect and retain information? Can you talk a little bit about the specifics?
It has to do with the existing capabilities that a retailer has in their operation to manage information over time, and maintain it in high quality. It also has to do with the considerations of what is attempted to gain out of the collection of the information. If the intent is more of a deterrence, collecting information more as a deterrence, and then maybe you can use something more simple that you do on your own. If you're trying to gain additional value out of that information, if you are interested in actually being able to accurately track somebody who abused policies to be able to prevent them from returning certain merchandise, or if you are interested in gaining some additional marketing insight from the data, that may be a good enough incentive to go and use somebody who specializes just in those types of activities, that have the right algorithms, that have the right professionals on staff who know how to sift through data like that and provide that kind of input.
Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.